Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Tell us what you saw, Mr. Spiewak.
What did you see? I'm looking at next door while you talk.
Okay, excellent. As I was turning up 33rd Street Northwest in Washington, D.C.
Please use the Irish 33rd.
33rd Street.
Thank you.
33rd.
And that's how all the cops talked. I rolled down the window and they were all talking like that. What did you see, Mrs. O'Leary?
Hey, Clancy. You go over there. Yes, sirree. Michael Flanagan.
I'm sitting there and I have the chills.
Yeah.
And he walks in and he goes, Dad, I want... Dad? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'll talk to you later. You know, freaking him out. He knows he's got an older dad.
Yeah.
It freaks him out a little bit. He's very aware of his father being elderly. That's what it is.
With your diverticulitis and my colitis that sometimes flares up, does stress get at it? Does stress do it as well? I know you had said the physical pressure of the
tight pants. Yes, the stress of that last segment. Come and knock on our door. Someone is waiting for you. Three's company two. That's how you do it.
That's it.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Beaufort, South Carolina, Carbondale, Illinois, Smyrna, Tennessee.
Smyrna!
I think there's a Smyrna, Georgia, too.
I think you're right.
Santa Barbara, California. Parker, Colorado. Sorry. And Gwangju, South Korea. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And very interesting, right before the show, Rob Spiewak was mentioning that on his way in, Oscar, it sounds to me like perhaps Rob had witnessed a murder scene.
I think so.
It seemed pretty odd.
Chance. I don't know.
Outside. Was there police tape?
There was no police tape, but I think it had just begun because the guy was
The investigation?
Yeah, the investigation of what I speculate to be a mass murder scene.
No, it's such an easy B&E from what you described. Describe it to the listening audience.
Well, you know,
Mike. This is what your big city.
It's life in the city, Mike. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm coming up one of the side streets, not Oscar Street, but near Oscar Street.
Oscar Street.
And it's, row houses.
Why didn't you throw your press hat on and hop out and go, hey,
I didn't have my
Gumshoe, what's going on here? There you go, you know.
I could flip him a $20 bill and say, maybe this will help you remember what happened.
You know, we had one down here that was crazy. I mean, to drive by it, but you can't stop, can you?
No, you can't. It's a one way street, and it would have really gummed up traffic. But I did go very slow.
So tell us what you saw, Mr. Spiewak.
What did you see? I'm looking at next door while you talk.
Okay, excellent. As I was turning up 33rd Street Northwest in Washington, D.C.
Please use the Irish 33rd.
33rd Street.
Thank you.
33rd.
And that's how all the cops talked. I rolled down the window and they were all talking like that. What did you see, Mrs. O'Leary?
Hey, Clancy. You go over there. Yes, sirree. Michael Flanagan. I'm Michael Flanagan and I'm the officer in charge here.
When's the last time you saw her? When did you see her?
By the way, the Irish dialect for cops in movies has been replaced by the Boston dialect.
Yeah, you're a cop from
departed
Boston.
Yes. And the town. Yes. You're a cop from Boston.
So I'm coming up the street, and it's a very old school, quaint Georgetown street. And I see ahead of me three police cars, all sort of parked parallel with their lights flashing. I said, what's all this then? And when you do that, I always go slow anyway because you don't know if they're going to be walking around and you don't want to upset a policeman.
I do the opposite.
If I see that, I
put the pedal to the metal. I don't want to be caught.
What I did, though, is I leaned on the horn the whole time just to let them know I was coming.
Right.
So I'm going slow and I see that they are talking to people on the street. Two people that had dogs. One person just looked like a pedestrian, and they were masked up and talking to them around this house.
Were they crying?
They were not crying. But then as I get to the house, the door, it's like double doors, you know.
Yes.
So it's a she house.
Yeah, this is a very she neighborhood. And so
double doors.
The doppel doors are open. There is a policeman standing in the threshold taking camera, taking pictures with a camera, like a real camera, not like a phone. And then I see cops prowling around inside the living room or the receiving area of the house. And I have to think, ah, something's going down in the city.
In the city.
Yeah.
In the city.
And we'll never know, probably, because, I mean, it probably was nothing. You know,
well,
it was probably
it's
not
probably
that
big.
If they
a
break
B&E.
Out a real camera, if they break out a real camera, it's got to be something.
All right, call Pat Collins.
will he bring his crime stick?
Is Pat Collins still doing it? Is he still working?
I believe so.
He is.
He just released a book.
Global warming has stopped his golden shovel approach. As you
well, know. It's a snow stick.
That's fascinating.
Mike, let me add this. The B&E is breaking and entering for those of you not in the business.
Oh, I thought it was like a market.
Is top of mind because, as you recall, for a while I was helping out one of our elderly neighbors on the corner of my block.
Right.
And
that's your MO.
Yes,
by the way,
yes.
You know, it's helping out your elderly neighbors.
The old people in my life love me.
Donald is no longer, right? Or you don't even know whether Donald's
I tried
alive
to track Donald, I would say 5 years ago, and I couldn't find him. He might have gone to, you know,
talk
the
about
heavenly gates.
Mike, talk about the golden shovel.
Right. We'll get to that in a second.
My neighbor on the corner had me stop by and pick up the mail, asked me to, and I didn't have a problem. And I, because I was new to the neighborhood, didn't realize that some alarms have two keypads you have to put the code into, not just one.
Okay.
And this one was a cartoon-sized brownstone, so I had two keypads, and I just hit one. And then the alarm went off.
So was this older person like out of town and you're handling
town,
the mail?
Just taking care of the mail.
Sure.
No big deal.
Courtesy, common courtesy.
As soon as
I
heard the alarm go off, I walked out and within, I would say a minute and a half because it's where we live.
Yeah.
The police had arrived and I stuck around because something like a Latin man in athletic gear, much skinnier at the time, walking out of someone's house that, you know, doesn't live there.
I'm guessing all black athletic gear, too, so you look like a cat burglar.
I look like a cat burglar,
sure.
Except for the mask.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they stopped me, and I said, oh, yeah, because I was a bit of a moron. I was like, yeah, I was just watching the house. I live in the house right up the street. If you need me, just come get me, right? And the officer was like, oh, no, we need to see your license.
So you thought you could just, like, walk away? And then if you need me, I'll be in my home.
Yes.
Yeah, it's up there. I'll see you later.
Oh, it was a good, I would say, 45 minutes later after everything got squared away.
You think it was a 1064?
Might have been a 1064, Mike. 1064.
It's a crime in progress.
Yeah, so it could have been. Could have
happened. He's in the house.
He's in the house.
The call is coming from within
the Latino on the block.
Yeah.
The one Latino on the block has walked out of not his house, someone else's house.
Well, we'll probably never know.
We'll never know, Rob.
But well, it's close enough to your neighborhood that you could, if it comes up on Nextdoor, let us know.
Yeah, right now all I have on Nextdoor is somebody stealing a wallet from someone's foyer. I don't know how if you live in the city you leave your front door open.
Right.
Like I have five locks on my door, something out of a movie.
Yeah, like the what was it, a Laverne and Shirley?
Yes.
They had like a 15 locks all in a row.
Well, you also see the, you know, you're a child of the city. You know what's going on in the city. Yeah. You know
Crime
the city
report.
Can be
Crime
a
report.
Dangerous place.
Crime
my
report.
Sister lives in the middle of the city, and it's a dangerous place.
Yes.
I was in the guest room, and that's where they put me, of course, when I stay up there, because it's right next to, you know, I am reasonably sure that my sister has moved in next to a halfway house or something, because they're... 3 o'clock in the morning. I at one point I was in that house and I was awakened by talking. And you go down a set of steps to get to the first level of this brownstone.
Very
they
vertical,
live in.
Right? Yeah.
And they had little shutters there, and I remember peering through the shutters, and when I looked out, next to the window was a hand with a cigarette in it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I slinked away to my bed, pulled the covers over my head, and said, oh, no, I hope they don't hurt
please,
me.
Please don't break the window. Get in here. Mike, one
scary.
Of the greatest things of the pandemic that I don't miss, even now, and if it was one silver lining, is that the city went quiet. And it was strange, eerie for a while.
Yep.
Almost
right.
like Bird Box, where you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I would say maybe 3 weeks ago, as Georgetown University started bringing people back, you got to hear the Georgetown undergrad Call of the Wild, which is a drunk undergrad yelling into the phone, not to be sexist, usually female.
Sure.
But where are you? Where are you?
Yeah, because it's there. They don't even acknowledge that people actually live in the neighborhood.
No.
It's a city.
Yeah, no. And speaking it's of which, city. Oscar, whatever happened to the bros that were doing the super spreader workout club?
The box?
Yeah, across the street from
box?
Me. Yeah, did that ever,
the bros
away?
Are back in business.
Oh, the bros are
yeah,
back
all their
in
abs.
Town.
I see my wife looking out the window like she's on a crime watch. She's looking at the abs.
Sure.
Staring at them.
Speaking of crime, we have a major announcement on the show today. I think most of you by now, as we tape this, are aware of the fact that a former colleague of ours has left the Fruited Plain. G. Gordon Liddy, if you remember, G. Gordon Liddy worked with us at WJFK in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I think it was the late 90s and early 2000s. Rob, you know the years better than I do.
He started in 93 because I remember the first time I heard him, I was actually driving home from college and I knew that you and Don were on in the afternoon. So I put on 106.7 and it was the last hour of his show. But I assumed, and this is...
Was that the 90s, early
90s? Yeah, 93, maybe even 92.
Wow. I have no sense of like...
Yeah, it was 92 because...
Memory when it comes to years and dates. I just don't
he
do
was
that
there.
Well.
He was there when I entered. But the first time I heard him on WJFK, it was in and out with static because of that wonderful JFK signal. I thought it was you doing a bit as Don Adams.
Oh, that's right, Chief.
I really did.
That's the Liddy voice.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
And as G. Gordon Liddy said on his show one time, Mike O'Mara does me better than I do me.
He called you.
I was always thrilled with that.
You
that
a
was a very
mimic.
Nice. He's quite a clever mimic. He was one of the most interesting people to ever work in a radio station with me. Mm-hmm. I could not, everybody knows my politics, so I thought of him before he came to work for us as the great evil dude. And it was just, I think he understood his fame better than most people, and he parlayed that into a lot of different things. He was a TV guy, was on Miami Vice.
Yep.
He did that. Well, let me read the bio, the obit that was in the Post, really well written. I'll cherry pick some stuff out of this.
Right.
G. Gordon Liddy, the undercover operative whose bungling of the Watergate break-in triggered one of the gravest constitutional crises in American history and led to the resignation of President Richard M. Nixon, died yesterday at his daughter's home in Fairfax County, Virginia. He was 90. His son, Thomas Liddy, he talked about his son quite a bit, confirmed the death but did not give a cause, saying only that it was unrelated to the coronavirus. Liddy was he did a million different things. He was a lawyer. He was an FBI agent. He was a radio personality. He was a television star. Mm-hmm. He would go on TV series. And his following was, it was really one of those moments where I was saying, what the hell are they doing on this radio station?
Yeah.
Because you've got a shock jock in the morning and shock jocks in the afternoon. And then in the middle of the day, you have a former Watergate burglar who's doing essentially right-wing talk, but with his own spin on it, with an amazing spin on it. He was, I don't want to diminish him and say it was cartoon-like, but it was definitely shticky with, gun control is hitting what you aim at. And it was just
it is shtick. And as Carrie said, he one time sent us a Christmas card and she said, look, we got Merry Christmas from a historical footnote. And that's what he is. He's sort of always sort of tangentially related to a lot of things. Keep in mind that an hour of his 3-hour show, Oscar, was reading from the newspaper.
Mm.
I mean, literally, that's what he did.
His headlines?
From the pages of the Washington Post. And you hear the paper going on, and then he'd read it and he'd comment on it. And that's what he would do. And, he was fine in his own way with radio.
Yeah.
We were there when he was getting started with this. He had a very, very interesting series of, what shall I say? What's the best word I can use for this? Of it's not a fetish because that's a sexual thing.
Right.
Of he was into... Nazis to a certain extent. Mm. He would talk about the Messerschmitt as being one of the finest. He always would. And it was funny. And for us being on in the afternoon, when you'd hear a guy talking about gun control is hitting what you aim at, if you have an intruder that you happen to dispatch on your front lawn, dispatch. Pull him back into the house so that you will not be charged with, it was just a lot of guns. And by the way, he was a felon because he was convicted, sentenced to 20 years, was pardoned by Jimmy Carter. I think he went to the Huskow in 73, and I think he wasn't pardoned until... Jimmy Carter pardoned him. I know that.
So the earliest he could have been sentence. Was 76, because that's when Carter was elected.
77, I think he got
Mike,
sprung.
When he was in jail, he watched the ants.
I watched the ants. He used to talk about he'd tie himself to a tree to during an electrical storm to combat his fear of thunder and lightning. He talked about his wife being this strapping woman from the Rhine that he married picked her because she was, did he marry?
It was in the book Will. He said that he chose his wife because of her proficiency in mathematics and her size, two things that he lacked. Now, Mike, I pulled up.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
I pulled a little bit of tape to sort of illustrate, just to know that he was sort of a pop culture figure. Remember, he was mentioned in the movie Fletch.
Hey, you the guy from Ajax?
Yeah, you bet. Name's Liddy, Gordon Liddy.
Also, he was a key player in the story of Watergate, so therefore mentioned in All the President's Men.
I thought it was all legal. I mean, I guess I did until after the break-in when I remembered Gordon got so much of it.
This is Mr. Liddy.
It's also rotten.
Also rotten. Mm. And 5 years after the Watergate break-in, he was still relevant enough to merit a joke on the Carson show.
Where are they now? I know you're all wondering what happened to G. Gordon Liddy. And you might like to know that G. Gordon Liddy is out of prison. He's doing well. And in fact, at this very moment, he is standing at the Jack in the Box, refusing to tell the clown anything.
He never ratted.
No, he never ratted.
That's why he went to jail.
Very proud of that. And you mentioned, Mike, his sort of fascination with the Germans.
Roaring by the entire field was Mercedes-Benz, which took first place with BMW. That's pronounced in English BMW. If you want to call a Mercedes a Mercedes, why, then you would call it a BMW. But it's actually BMW in German.
It's always a pleasure when I part a keyword into my computer and see what pops up. This is a portion of the Don and Mike show when he came in to promote the fact that he was doing a signing for his stacked and packed calendar.
Okay.
Now, Oscar, I don't know if you remember this. He did a charity sale calendar that was women posing with guns.
Women in underwear and bikinis with guns.
And
so he liked guns, even though he couldn't own a gun because he was a fan. He would say that I cannot own a gun, but Mrs. Liddy has 27 of them, and sometimes she keeps them on my side of the bed.
Shtick.
Thank you. It was great shtick.
But he was worked up, and he got to do one of his favorite things. He talked like this.
Das ist mein Hitler imitation.
What?
Wow. Yeah. He was doing a Hitler imitation.
He was very keyed up that day.
Different times.
Yes, indeed.
A lot of people were mentioning to me online the one time that John Pop arranged for me to pretend to be Regis Philbin.
This was sad.
And call into his show, and he took it hook, line, and sinker. You don't have that tape, do you?
No, I don't, because that was actually part of the Liddy show, not our show. I do remember when you did it, you called from WNEW, and it became...
Is that where I called from?
Yeah, from the production room at NEW, and it was sadly awkward, because he was so into it, that when it was revealed that
hey,
it wasn't...
Hey, Reege!
He said that.
Yes, when it wasn't Reege. It was so great.
He was so happy, because it was such a big celebrity calling him...
Yeah, and he bought it.
His producer had done
set him up.
The ruse, and it was funny. It was not he wasn't pissed or anything.
No,
like that.
But an awkward moment.
It wasn't sad. It
no,
was,
no,
it
you're
was
right.
Just,
you're
it
right.
Was shtick. We were doing shtick with Liddy.
I think Rob remembers it differently.
Well, Rob remembers a lot of things differently.
Well, I think it was supposed to work out where he would have caught on. And he wasn't mad when all was said and done.
Donald Trump caught on when I called Donald Trump as Gordon, as Regis Philbin.
I remember that.
This isn't Regis. Yes, it is, Donald. Hello, Donald. It's Regis Philbin. God rest. But they're all dead now. It's sad.
Yeah.
You're alive, Mike.
I'm alive. Thank you very much.
When they revealed who Deep Throat was, it was Mark Felt, I think his name was. And they did a panel discussion on Fox Morning News. And it was the Sunday Fox show. And it was great because the host sort of went after Liddy. And he defended himself pretty well. It was a pretty good Liddy moment here.
You know, I don't want to go too far down this line. You've in fact
I know you don't want to.
Well, because you've been sued by a...
And I have won.
Well,
Chris Wallace,
win.
Yes.
Yes, I did win.
In any case. You know, I think that it's sort of inside baseball, and we're never going to know.
It's not,
I suspect
it's,
Mr.
Oh,
Benveniste...
We are going to know. We do know. It's just that we refuse, we being the... You know, mainstream media. We refuse to tell the American people.
30 seconds to Mr. Benveniste.
Still another cover up.
Mike, it's weird when you look back.
Controversial figure. I remember it was a big deal. I said, who is going to be working here? You know, you'd heard about the hand over the flame, and you'd heard about this. And I remember the first thing I noticed the day I saw him for the first time was his stature, that he was not a tall man. He was a little guy. Mm-hmm. He was a little guy. But man, oh, man, that face with that mustache and those black eyes that he had. He had an intimidation factor on him, and he always looked like he was, you know, he was a little skittish. He was always kind of like looking at you, hello, very nice to meet you. He was, but I mean, he was an imposing guy based on the look. And then as we got to know him better, and as we worked with him, it became more obvious that he liked doing this kind of shtick. And then when he talked about the size of his balls on one of his shows, Don decided that he would have a contest with Gordon Liddy where they would show them. And that went south and didn't go over particularly well. And I think we kind of fell out of a relationship with him at that particular point. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened. But
there was
a time when
you coexisted peacefully and almost beneficially to each other.
Because we had him on, and we would go. I would do things like do shtick on his show. But, it's hard for me to remember because there's so much that's gone on. But I think we moved past our relationship with him because of that. It just didn't go that well. And, of course, because he was who he was, people like to poke fun. And the most memorable thing I have, one of the most memorable things about G. Gordon Liddy, was in the hallways of WJFK, that G. Gordon Liddy had taken his listeners on a cruise that I will always remember, on the SS Veendam. That was the name. You'll be joining me on the Veendam. And, it was kind of cool. He took listeners on a cruise. We've always flirted with that throughout the years with the Don and Mike show,
the
Michael Mara show.
When we were in Maine.
Saw the Veendam.
That's right.
Veendam comes to Maine an awful lot. And G. Gordon Liddy had a picture taken where he was wearing a Speedo bathing suit that was in the shape of the American flag.
Yes.
And it seemed as though he was quite well packaged, so to speak. And that picture made
stacked
its way around the hallways of WJFK, where you would see that on the
Pony
on
was
the
kind
wall.
Enough to send it to me at the front of this segment, as a matter of fact. So
No need to zoom in,
but that's...
Oh, go ahead and zoom in on it, please. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Is he really stacked and packed? That's eyeball.
I think he's stuffed.
Hold on, I'll write this.
There we
pretty
are.
Pretty good shape for a man his age.
Very good shape. He's a very, very fit and I've seen enough now.
How are you doing?
That's enough.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Put it down now. That was it. And it was
save that to favorites.
Yeah, but it was kind of he was a radio guy. We used to call him a disc jockey. Our other disc jockey, G. Gordon Liddy.
You know what? It was fun. Oscar, he did have a red Corvette, and the license plate was H2O Gate.
Yeah. So he of course, he bought into it.
Yeah. Mike said, he didn't he live in Fort Washington, Maryland?
I believe right? that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That came up a few times where he would talk about that. Look, all these people that made their way in radio, there was always something there. There was always something. We could always pretend that we didn't like them or we were competing with them. But everybody always brought something to the table that was special.
Yep.
And Liddy's was... It's not easy, and the parade of guests that Liddy would have, from Oliver North to Bill Maher, you know, coming through the hallways, was fascinating. And the only time that there was a really big deal for me was, you know, we were getting ready to do our show, and I was coming down from the office to go to the potty. And to go to the public potty that we had, you had to go out into the hallway and out into the lobby of the building that we were in at 10800 Main Street.
You were never ashamed about it. Oftentimes, you would have a newspaper under your arm.
Why lie?
Exactly.
I know what people know what I'm going to do. That's what's going to happen. And I went out into the security area, which was there was a little buzz to get into the lobby area.
Yep.
And then there was another buzz to get into the studio itself. And then outside of that was the building lobby.
Sure.
And then the bathrooms were on the other side. So as I go through the security door, I see sitting in the secured lobby is a gentleman who has a head wound of some sort, a bandage on his head. And next to him on the table is a weapon, a handgun.
Mm.
And I turned around, I don't know who it was at the particular time, and said, excuse me, he has a gun.
Yeah.
And Rob, maybe you can take it from there, because I don't remember
what happened after
that.
Miss Terry, I believe, was the receptionist at that point.
Okay.
And she was not over-selective on who she let in. So
She wasn't burdened with real concern over who came into the building.
No, and I believe if memory serves, it was some sort of semi-automatic Luger, and the gentleman with the head wound was concerned if it was valuable or not. So,
right.
Of course, he would come see Mr. Liddy, and about, Mr. Liddy will be out a little after two. That's what Miss Terry would say. Have a seat.
Yeah, and I'm like, Terry, he has a gun.
Yeah.
And it's just at that particular point, it was deemed the prudent thing to do to call the authorities.
And a policeman came and escorted him out. I don't know if you ever saw Mr. Liddy or not, but
the combination of the head wound and the gun.
It was a magical.
God love you, Terry. Didn't mean much to you.
It was always a magical roll of the dice, Mike, to take on the WJFK lobby at 2:05 because you never knew what you were going to get.
Look, we had Christmas parties with Gordon and his late wife, Frances Liddy, and she was an interesting character, too. It was a fascinating time to have worked with that gentleman. He was not somebody that I agreed with on anything, really, politically. And I also felt that there was, I have to be honest, full disclosure, I'm not going to tell you how much I love the guy, because I didn't.
Right.
I thought that there was a lot of... self-promotion and a lot of, I don't want to say delusions of grandeur, but, talking about what a big, tough guy he was. And I think that's why he was considered a big, tough guy, because he,
people bought into what you repeat something long enough, people buy
in. And when you tell stories about, you're alone, strapping yourself to a tree, and you're alone in a prison cell, counting the ants, and there's been controversy over.
There's a lot to be said for not ratting, though. I'll say that even to this day. Like,
yes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
All that pressure.
I mean, he was fine doing it that way, but he also wanted to say that maybe he would he volunteered to assassinate the columnist. I'm trying to think who the guy, Jack Anderson. He volunteered to assassinate Jack Anderson.
So he says.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's what it is. I don't care when it comes to being on the radio, whether you are somebody who is agrees with me or doesn't agree with me. But the fact is, G. Gordon Liddy was an interesting, iconic character. He was. He brought something different. It was certainly nothing I'd ever heard on the radio. I've never heard it on conservative radio either. Mm-mm. I mean, when you listen to most conservative radio and most sports talk, it's cookie cutter. You know, mm-hmm. you hear the same thing all the time. This was not the same stuff.
No, no, no. Mm-hmm.
Because it was all over. He had opinions. He did the stacked impact calendar. He was fine. He liked ladies. He was fine with all that stuff.
I have to ask, Oscar, when you hear this stuff, and we bring up details that are a little deeper than we've covered in the past, because you weren't there for the Liddy era of WJFK.
No. Took his time slot.
Was
O'Reilly before Liddy or after
Correct.
Liddy?
O'Reilly after.
O'Reilly and
after.
Then for after. And it was O'Reilly and then we had an hour of the Penn Jillette show. That's when things were really falling apart, I think.
Right.
But when you hear this stuff in detail, Oscar, does it seem as surreal as it sounds as we discuss it? Because I was there, and looking back 30 years ago, it's like, I can't believe this happened.
Well, my context, I was telling Mike before the show, was the Don and Mike show would talk about Liddy.
Right.
And then our show has talked about Liddy for some time. Right. And then the historical context of what Liddy, and then stumbling across Liddy and curious about a show when he, I think he had a couple hours on satellite radio here and there.
Right.
But I never... I guess the cartoon character that I always thought about Liddy was Liddy in the Speedo, Liddy on the cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, I just felt like it was still fascinating to me, even all these years later, on how that entire crew got together to do what they did. By fascinating, I don't condone it, of course. It's just the cojones it takes to even try something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because there are many, many people in our listening audience who have been requesting a visit from heaven, we're not going to do that. What I'm going to do is, from his obit in the Washington Post, please, I will read a few paragraphs in the voice of G. Gordon Liddy, because
please,
I know there are people. I'm not going to do the whole
bit,
heaven thing the day they ever. From the pages.
Thank you.
Of the Washington Post, Gordon Liddy developed an early fascination with Nazi Germany, saying that he felt an electric current surge through his body when he listened to Adolf Hitler on the radio. To the young Liddy, Hitler embodied the power of will. And Will, of course, was the title
of his book. Yes.
And isn't there a Leni Riefenstahl documentary, Triumph of the
Triumph
Will,
of the
that
will,
was kind
yeah.
of a Nazi? We all learned that in our documentary mm-hmm. film. He accepted personal responsibility for the fiasco that was Watergate, declaring that he was captain of the ship when she hit the reef.
Oh, the Vindom.
Yeah. And by the way, he said to presidential counsel John Dean, when this all went down, he said, if someone wants to shoot me, just tell me what corner to stand on and I will be there. So
wow.
I think there was some physical courage there.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. It's how you hear a lot. The legend was big. And you know, in America, we can buy into that quite often.
Of course.
And it's easy to do. My old man raised me to say, when guys are talking a lot about how brave and big they are, they're usually not that brave and big.
Yeah.
That's my dad
As
said that to me. I've believed it forever.
Yeah,
let
pony.
Me see.
I'll show you.
Wow.
Stupid Rob.
And give you a knuckle sandwich.
Coward.
Coward.
By his own account, the Liddy of the Watergate break-in was a product of the culture wars of the 1960s. The nation was at war, not only externally in Vietnam, but internally. He wrote that in his autobiography, Will, which sold more than a million copies. I had learned long ago the maxims of Cicero, that laws are inoperative in war, and that the good of the people is the chief law. That's a kind of the excuse given for anybody. It's his free pass.
And
right
now
there,
here's a word from Gold Bond Powder.
John and John Pop, was his producer,
yes.
And Cameron Gray, I believe, was he a PD during the
assistant producer? He was the assistant producer, and then they both ended up
working at the NRA, didn't they?
Who knows?
Didn't both of those guys work? You knew them, right?
Yeah.
You know
they worked at the NRA.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I was saying who would ever figure that path would happen is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, because they were connected to the NRA because
yes.
G. Gordon Liddy loved his gun so much.
I was being silly.
It was just right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, so he joined the FBI in 1957. That same year,
he married computer instructor Francis Purcell, whose striking appearance, he wrote in his memoir, reminded him of a legendary Rhine maiden.
Okay, so there we go.
There's a theme.
She excelled in mathematics, Oscar.
She did. Let me see. I'm just looking through this here. He ran for Congress at one time.
Who hasn't?
He arrested Timothy Leary.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he did that. He was up in the Poughkeepsie area where I went to school at Marist. Uh-huh. He was in the FBI, not when I was there.
You were Timothy Leary's roommate early. Sophomore year, right?
Leary didn't go to.
I'm sorry.
Let me see. So at 71, he teamed up with Hunt, former CIA agent E. Howard Hunt, to hire a group of anti-Castro Cubans to burglarize the Beverly Hills, California office of Ellsberg's psychiatrist. Now, really quickly, when you talk about Trump winning Southeast Florida, okay? Shut up, Frankie! When you hear about that, you realize that this anti-Castro contingent of Latin Americans has been, you know, they've been in the camp of the Republicans for a very long time. It's not unusual down here in Florida to have that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense to me.
Sure.
And let me see. After the Plumbers disbanded, Mr. Liddy was transferred to the Committee to Reelect the President.
Creep.
Popularly known as Creep. So he proposed a $1 million sabotage and intelligence plan known as Gemstone, which was eventually pared back to a $250,000 scheme that included the bugging of the Democratic headquarters. He also volunteered to assassinate newspaper columnist Jack Anderson, who he thought was responsible for the compromising of a top U.S. intelligence source. His superiors veto the idea.
Ah.
So that's Liddy. A lot of different stuff here. I'm seeing it's a very long bio. Mm-hmm. And Bob Woodward, who's written, obviously was the Watergate reporter at the Post. He liked Liddy's book. He really did. It was well received by people, even Bob Woodward, who described the book as a self-portrait of a zealot.
Yeah. He didn't like his fiction work, Mike, The Monkey Handlers.
But Woodward also noted that the book contained an embarrassment of riches growing out of his blustery conceit and his freedom from any guilt about what he did, which is true.
Yep.
He did not have any guilt or any remorse for what he did. And let's see.
When you can make yourself guilt-free of something like that, that comes with the bluster. You talk yourself into it, I think.
Oh, by the way, the one thing we left out, his standard reply to callers on the show at WJFK was, I'm feeling virile, vigorous, and potent.
That's right.
Kind of alluding to his sexual prowess,
yes.
You know, and his big balls.
Yeah.
But that's it. And here's the line about Mrs. Liddy. As a felon, he lost the right to own a gun, but he found an easy way around the law. He told interviewers that he owned no guns, but Mrs. Liddy owns 27, some of which she keeps on my side of the bed. And Rob mentioned he had a black Volvo that sported the personalized tag H2O gate. He might have later had a Corvette.
The Corvette was on his publicity picture, as I recall.
Yeah.
The one that he would sign with the machine.
Right, exactly. His last quote in the obit is, things are very, very good for me, he told the Los Angeles Times in 1991. I'm very appreciative. I was an accident of history. So, safe home, Gordon Liddy.
Yes.
You were, I'll tell you, you gave us something to talk about.
One of a kind.
You truly, truly do. One of a kind. And my God, we're running late. We want to say condolences to Tom Liddy,
who we talk about often,
and the Liddy family, who are local in Fairfax, Virginia. Nobody likes to lose a parent, and our thoughts are with them today. So, we'll take a break, come back with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Mara NFL News. Coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I think it's all because of
my daddy.
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
My supervisory capacity sometimes is a little diminished due to my advanced age. I've decided to exploit my son. Daddy. He knows his daddy. Dad, you might be able to get 10% off your beer. Just imagine you could drink 10% more. Daddy. Because they're seven and they're boys, they can get into stuff. Sitting in the garage, playing with a box cutter. I'm Mike O'Mara. I'm Father of the Year.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is an extra hour of uncensored TMOS every week. Get a bonus show subscription and never miss any of the fatherly wisdom or advice from Mike O'Mara, Father of the Year.
Daddy wasn't there.
There we go. Daddy wasn't there. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. Mortgage interest rates have taken a breather this week and are back down, leaving the 30-year fixed rate still in the twos. But the feds are clamoring to keep inflation in check, so how long can they artificially keep them this low is anyone's guess. So the time to act is now. You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial before rates move higher again. It's a great time to refi or to purchase. The reality of underbuilding for over a decade has left fewer options for buyers, and it's imperative to be aligned with a lender that can work with your specific situation and options. Call now, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. The housing market is volatile, and it's now more important than ever to work with a team you can trust. I trust the team at Cornerstone First Financial. I'm working with them the second time. As a direct lender, they can guarantee to meet or beat any offer. Remember, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. And now we have to play the thing. Because I got to turn that up. I got too many papers over here with G. Gordon Liddy and everything like that. Let me press that button.
There we are.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
All right, we're going to spend some time today on this story because we have a lot of NFL fans that care about the league, and we talk about it quite often.
Right.
Yesterday, the NFL owners voted to increase the regular season, and I welcome your thoughts on this, from 16 to 17 games, effective immediately.
Did
you hear about that, fellas?
This is a surprise for most, but it's not for it shouldn't be for the players, because this is collectively bargained out in the CBA
They said they were going to do it, and as soon as they did it.
Now, we already have a 17-week season because of the bye. Does this mean the season is going to extend to 18 weeks, or are they going to get rid of the bye?
I got lots on this. I printed everything out. You left out a lot of stuff. So it's going to begin this coming season.
All right.
The owners have wanted this for a while. The players were reluctant. However, it became inevitable when the players agreed to a collective bargaining agreement last year that included an option for the owners to add a game. A few players have already grumbled about the plan, but at this point, there's nothing they can do, at least until this agreement expires after the 2030 season. So it's 9 years away.
Okay.
So 17 games will be the reality for the next decade. So how's it going to work? Here are five things you need to know. Number one, the season won't start earlier. It'll be extended.
Okay.
And each team will still only get one bye week.
All right.
The 17th game will replace a preseason game. So there will be three preseason games instead of four. That's good. I like that. I don't like preseason football.
They don't count, Mike.
The regular. Am I the only one that thinks these games are meaningless, although we've gone 0-3?
Hey, look, it's another week I won't be working.
There you go. Mr. Snyder, I've got some wonderful videos you want to look at.
All the good stuff, Dan.
The regular season will start at the same time, just after Labor Day, and the season will go long, with Super Bowl is now scheduled for the middle of February.
Mm.
Yeah, that's different.
I don't know. It works for me because they drop an actual preseason game. So
that's great.
Toll on a player's body, the outside chance of even somebody that's trying to make the team getting hurt.
Yeah.
Like that all goes down. But overall, like, I think it works for the players. And you know, these TV rights that, you know, Amazon's now, they have the sole rights to Thursday Night Football that they paid almost $1 billion for. Like, the more content, it's king. And remember, we're coming off a year of almost no sports.
Yeah. Right.
And there was a lot of
fun with that. This is the time to do it. And Mike, I actually just Googled it. It turns out that if this works, the NFL will turn a profit this year.
Super Bowl 56 will be on February 13th, if you're keeping track of that kind of thing.
Valentine's weekend.
The players won't... Oh, my God, people are going to love that. The players won't get paid more, but they will benefit financially. Some players aren't enthusiastic about adding a game because it'll take some time before they're able to reap the benefits. Initially, most players will be paid the same, and actually their paychecks will be lower because their salary will be spread over more weeks. A few players players will be eligible to get paid for an additional game depending on their contracts. That said, the players as a whole are entitled to a 48% share of the revenue, and this expansion triggers an additional boost, which will likely push it to around 49%.
Wow.
Look, everything I'm reading in this sort of tells me the owners are just, you know, yeah, rake it in, yeah. Boys. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mike, the true takeaway is that means that Monday, President's Day, is a holiday.
Mm.
After the Super Bowl.
So the Super Bowl, that's actually huge because there's that lobbying, that movement to make the day after the Super Bowl a holiday or move the Super Bowl to a Saturday.
But
so
we will be working that day.
Yes, but not here. We'll be volunteering.
Thank you. Not every team will have the same number of home games. There's an odd number of games now. So only half the teams will have an extra home game. That's a little hinky. That's I guess weird. You do that for the teams that are at the bottom of the barrel. In 2021, the AFC will have 9 home games and 8 away games. In 2022, it'll flip, and the NFC will get some extra home cooking. Extra home cooking. Love the way they're saying. Number 4, the teams will play an extra cross-conference game. Well, that's good. I love to see my Giants over in Miami. The league will match each division with a division in the other conference, rotating each year, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. So the team that finished first in one will play the top team in the other, and so on. Does that make sense to you?
I love the idea that when we have our next, you know, Super Bowl party,
Super
we're going to actually have something that we don't have to dread, which is work the next day.
Yeah. If it's the President's Day holiday, that's interesting.
That's smart.
Let me see. There probably won't be any asterisks in the record books because this has happened before. Some season-long records may be in jeopardy, but it shouldn't be a major issue. Prior to 1978, the regular season was just 14 games. So even though it's been the same for 43 years, it hasn't always been 16 games. So that's not a thing. So there you have it, NFL fans.
Wow.
You're getting an extra game. Isn't that exciting?
Mike, I feel in my bones there's one person who doesn't like it, and it's Sonny Jurgens.
I don't understand why they're doing it. No, I'm retired. I don't do it anymore, Rob.
But I'm sure you have an opinion.
Hot dog.
Thank you, Sonny.
Let's go from sports nerds to real nerds. George R.R. Martin has found something new to keep him from finishing those Game of Thrones books. He is working on a Broadway version of the series, and it's expected to launch in 2023. You are the pop culture guy,
Mike.
You love it's the
cats
idea of
and
a
now
Broadway
G-O-T.
Show.
G-O-T.
That's great.
I'm in.
Unlike some of the prequels that are in the works, this one takes place only 16 years before the events of the books and the TV series during the great tourney at Harrenhal.
Is it musical?
I don't know. That means the return of several characters you're actually familiar with, including some dead ones.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
Isn't
I love
that
it.
Special?
It's
I'm
a
in,
great day for
wait.
A red wedding.
Yes, Chipotle is holding a contest for National Burrito Day tomorrow where you can win a free burrito or some free Bitcoin. But it's not easy to win. And you've got to go to their website, burritosorbitcoin.com. Really? And you get 10 tries to guess a random 6-digit number with
what?
No details on what the. Can somebody go to burritosorbitcoin.com,
yeah,
please?
I'll go right now.
And tell me what they can win because it doesn't say how much. What is the. I know nothing about Bitcoin, Oscar. What is the latest with that?
Well, the idea that it's over $50,000, almost 60, might have touched 60 as of late.
One Bitcoin?
I remember being on the air here 10 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, and I was trying to explain because nobody really knew then.
Right,
and
right.
I think they were $1,100.
$1,100.
And I tried to buy Bitcoin through
why
I felt
couldn't
like was,
you?
Because it wasn't easy. Now there's a place called Coinbase where you can buy it all day, and now you can get
it's
it
expensive.
Through Square. But,
yeah, of course it's easy now. It's 50 grand.
Yeah, but it blows my mind that we had a podcast here 5 years ago that was a Bitcoin podcast. And that guy made his fortune in college just mining Bitcoin.
Yeah, didn't have any sex,
but definitely mined Bitcoin.
Did you find the burritos or Bitcoin, Rob?
I'm there right now, and it says coming soon. It has to be for National Burrito Day, so it's not open yet.
So are they allowing you to buy a burrito for a fraction of a Bitcoin? Or are they giving you a possible Bitcoin/burrito?
No, you're going to win Bitcoin or a burrito. if you catch the numbers.
This is this Mike. This is what this is the GameStop. This is Reddit. This is Bitcoin. This is everything any Rube in America wants. I'll be there day of.
Okay, enjoy your burrito and Bitcoin. And now a little something, something. 32-year-old Jordan Evans.
Oh, of course.
Was drinking. I almost said Vernon Jordan. 32-year-old Jordan Evans was drinking with a friend on Friday in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the friend suffered some sort of injury. It doesn't say here. So Jordan decided to take him to the hospital himself in a stolen piece of construction equipment.
Mm.
He saw a front-end loader sitting at a construction site.
Course.
Loaded his friend into the bucket in the front,
no!
jumped behind the wheel, and drove him 10 blocks to the ER. Well, as luck would have it, some cops happened to be at the hospital and watched him pull up in the front loader, a bucket loader. His blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit, and he was blocking the ambulance bay. He had a bottle of liquor with him along with some weed. And he was driving on a suspended license from a previous DUI. He is facing charges as follows: drunk driving, drug possession, felony theft. No word yet on his friend's injuries, but it sounds like he's okay. He might even be released in time to visit his friend in the idiot jail. Thank you very much.
Idiot jail.
Wonderful stuff. Bucket loader, I'll save you. God. Oh, my God. Drunk history. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show, which is running late.
Good morning from Washington, D.C. and the great state of Kentucky. This is your Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. We are living in some crazy times. And I should know, I've been serving in the Senate since 1926, and I've seen it all. But we have to persevere. That's how I won that legendary foot race against the rabbit. I may be slow, but I keep on keeping on. I never go away. I'm always around. Just like death, taxes, hatred, the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, and the TMOS Shopping Center. And even though I don't understand podcasts, or computers, or even electricity, for that matter, my staff tells me I can buy anything I want from Target or Walmart by using my old blue bruised fingers to go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click that banner. Which reminds me, I carried a banner once. Here's a hint. It didn't say welcome.
There you go.
Hey, in any case, please shop through this site.
Okay.
From now on, that's where
I'll buy my sweet tea. Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you. Okay, your sweet tea. Thank you. All right, goodbye.
Mitch McConnell.
And yes.
Please fear the
yes. There we go. Make them shorter now.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
This is great content, though.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by KiwiCo. More than likely, your family is sticking close to home this spring, which is still a big chance for you and your kids. Why not get them a big change, I should say. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather today.
Understood.
A big change for you and your kids. Tummy hurts. Why not get them a super cool STEAM project that takes their imagination on a trip without leaving home? You know STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. With a KiwiCo subscription, your child gets a fun project every month, perfect for trailblazing toddlers to more experienced explorers. Sorry. God, who wrote this? And every stage in between. KiwiCo takes exploration to new heights. And everything you need is inside each crate so your child can get started right away. It's hard to keep kids intellectually engaged. KiwiCo can help. Plus, there's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime. I love that KiwiCo got my son interested in astronomy and physics. He's got his latest KiwiCo crate that we got on March 26th. It's in his room. He's hiding it from me.
It's an
awesome way for him to stretch his brain in a fun way. At home, loves it. With KiwiCo, there's something for every kid or kid at heart. Every month, get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with the code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code TMOS. KiwiCo. How? John!
My nephew got the balance tree this week. And the art, that was like a really smart art project they came with science. It was... my sister-in-law, who's an anesthesiologist, is hard to impress. She's so happy to work on those projects with him. So,
and he's how old now?
Because they're a smart family. He's they're four. A very smart family.
Four. It's awesome. All ages.
By the way, I wanted to mention to this is a secret message to Rob Spiewak.
Mm-hmm.
I finished reading that secret thing that you sent me.
Oh, the double secret probation thing?
The double secret?
Yes.
And
yes.
I want to know, is the secret going to, am I going to be able to talk about the secret
yes.
to the secret person?
Yes, you are.
That's
heard from his publicist yesterday, as a matter of fact.
You did? Yes. Do we have a date for that?
He starts the media for that the 22nd of this month or 27th. I have to double check, but yeah.
Of April.
Yes, of April.
Of this March.
Oh, yeah. Forgive. Forgive me.
I have rarely torn through a piece of literature that fast.
Big T.
Absolutely. You'd
Big
love
tease.
It too. I'll send it to Oscar.
Please.
He'll like it too.
Yeah.
I'll send it to all you guys. No, you won't like it, Rob.
Mike,
sports.
I sent it to you. I have it.
It's sport. You have it?
Remember,
yeah,
I sent it to
you. You won't read it. You won't read it.
Why do you say that?
Because it's sports.
But I love a good story.
It's a good story.
Okay.
It's a really, really good story. Fascinating.
Good.
Even a sport, I'm not going to give it away. I'll get in trouble.
All right.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Keep it top secret, baby. Top secret, baby.
So what else did I want to say? Let me see. I've got Rob's stupid weekend. Julia's weird request. Tell me about that.
You know, she is nothing if not unpredictable. I'm sitting downstairs and she comes in and she says, Dad, I want to do something with you. I said, okay, what? She says, I want us to get our ham radio licenses. And I said, why? She says, I want the amateur radio operator license plate for my car. That's the reason she wants that specialized tag that says ham or amateur radio operator to put on her car. And for that, we have to take classes to get to be amateur radio operators. And she says, I'd like for you to do it with me. I said, well, I'm kind of already a radio operator, but a professional one. And she says, yeah, but won't this be fun? You can get the license plate, too. I said, I guess. So she's doing the research to do the classes, and we're going to become ham radio operators or licensed ham operators. I don't think she's actually going to buy the equipment. But I, as I thought about it, it's sort of diminishing me, don't you think?
I'm looking at it right now, and I'm trying to see what it looks like. There are a lot of old ones online for this.
She cares so little about your profession. She wants to get something that mocks
So is it just a regular Virginia tag with amateur radio underneath
it? Yeah, it says amateur radio operator.
It's just the regular Virginia, like, white and blue tag
exactly.
with amateur radio under it.
But you need to have the license to do that. I don't have anything fancy on my tag right now. I had a VCU tag for a while, and you pay a premium, like, $15 a year or something to get, like, a special tag. But this is the one she wants. And it's just,
I think I have a I went to the standard Florida Orange license plate. Florida's got a million of them you can choose from.
Yeah.
Any sport. I could have gotten a golf one.
If you one. Wanted.
You get a space one. You get a manatee. You get a dolphin. You get a sunset. You get surfboards. They have a lot of those, and I think most states are doing it right now.
Yeah,
maybe not West Virginia.
DC,
well, that's very special,
so
right? But it's just, it's she's so weird, but in the best way, because you never know.
How much time is it going to take for you to placate your daughter with this?
Well, it says that level one. The technician license gives you access to VHF, UHF, and it's great for starting with handheld radios. They estimate 10 hours of training to take the test.
Not so bad.
No, I can
and
do it in a weekend.
And that'll get you the rights to the
Have
license
you ever
plate?
Dabbled in ham radio?
No.
Have you ever seen one? Have you ever tried to use one?
No, I'm partially Jewish, so we don't do ham.
Okay.
Why do they call it ham?
I think it means, isn't it because it's amateur?
No.
Well, like, why would it be amateur?
Handheld amateur? You
know? Maybe. I don't know.
These are the trucker radios, right?
That's a CB. That's different. That's Citizens Band.
This is a home-based radio that has an amazing frequency where you can go all over the
like
world.
Like most college radio stations.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You can only
amateur
talk to people
radio.
On the
ham radio is a popular hobby and service that brings people's electronics and communication together. People use ham radio to talk. They don't say why it's ham.
They don't.
Know.
It's Facebook.
It is. Well,
I
you know
see,
what? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, here we go.
I see here it says that amateur radio operators were called hams back in the day, so now they call them ham radios.
Why were they
that
called
still
hams?
Doesn't really explain it, though. Because they were hams like you would be a ham
on stage.
And by the way, why are people that are hamming it up? Why is it always ham? What's the origin? I'd like to know. When you say, hey, my son, he'd love to be in that show. He's a ham. Why is it a ham, Rob?
I don't know.
Why is it a ham?
I have no
Isn't
idea.
Isn't there a beer called ham?
Hams, yeah.
Well, there's Hams.
Yeah, that's two M's, though.
And then a bunch of Hams.
The Vienna Hams, the ham family that I went to high school with.
Maybe you're a ham because it actually, there are the roots in the ham radio world where you're just, you know, you're just an amateur comedian. An amateur broadcaster.
Ham can be used to describe a woman's thighs, legs, or butt. No, 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 no.
Dictionary.
Internet failing us right now.
Sorry.
What Mike, does ham mean?
According to one theory, in the past, not all actors could afford to buy cold cream to remove their makeup. The ones who were struggling to make a living, probably because they weren't very good, used pig fat or ham fat for this purpose. This practice led to actors, bad actors, being called ham fatters. And it was shortened to ham.
Ooh,
that is deep cut. Would you agree with me? That is one of the worst origins of a nickname I've ever heard in my life.
It's not
that
good.
They call them ham. It's terrible. It's really, really. So the cold cream was like ham fat.
Yeah.
That's what it comes from.
Yeah.
And then ham
operators.
Well,
they used it instead of cold cream.
They could afford cold cream. So they used ham fat to get off the makeup.
But I don't know that relates to ham radio at all.
I think it's ham fat.
Yeah.
Why do you have to get trained to be? Well, you have to get a license?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to do that.
Do you have any idea? Did you look into it?
I have a course that I have on my phone that I'm going to look into today. Yeah, I am.
All right.
And
okay.
So it's
Let us
weird.
Know how that goes.
It's weird because you don't even have to have a license to be on the radio now.
Right.
But you do still have to be licensed to get the license plate. So.
Right, I'm looking up what you have to do.
This from a wonderful helper, Mike. The term ham was first a pejorative term used in professional wired telegraphy during the 19th century to mock operators with poor Morse code sending skills.
Ham-fisted. It's another thing.
Ham-fisted.
All right.
Ham-fisted.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
All right.
And how did they take their makeup off?
This is your
off?
Segment, Rob, that you have completely punted.
Yeah.
So
no,
I'm just, I'm really telling you, maybe a little, just a teeny bit of preparation when you're coming, when you bring something to me. You know, Julia came into my basement. I thought that would be funny.
No,
we gotta take a break. Let's take a break. That's it. It's
are
over.
You gonna
thank
do
you very
it
much.
Is the question.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll
very
get the license plate too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Very
Magic.
Good. All right. What do you have to do? Step one, choose the level of license. All right. It's boring. That's it. We'll find out.
It's all 10 right. hours, Study Mike. It can't be that bad.
It's an exam. Take the exam in person or remote. I require you to take it in person.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Hey, humans, it's me, Winslow, Mike's Boston Terrier. Do you know I'm smart? In fact, I'm wicked smart. I even watch TV. I like movies like The Departed. My theory on feds is that they're like mushrooms. Feed them and keep them in the dark. Woof. Sometimes I eat too. That's relatable. Goodwill Hunting is another one that I like. Do you like apples? Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples? That's funny. Ted is funny, too. You, Thunder, you can suck my... You can't get me, Thunder, because you're just God's fat. That scene made me howl, literally. But the bonus show's even funnier. Buy the TMOS bonus show at michaelmaryshow.com. If you buy a lot of them, I get a greenie and a Blu-ray player. See ya. Gotta visit the fire hydrant. Johnny on the spot.
Thank you, Winslow. Appreciate that. And thanks for jumping on my balls this morning. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, getting everything you need to cook dinner is complicated right now. But with Freshly, it's simple. We've been telling you about Freshly for a while now. They have chef-made, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking required. Oscar, you live on Freshly. They're
yep.
stocked up in your
mm-hmm.
refrigerator. What is your favorite?
Right now, it's a Dijon chicken, Mike. And every Sunday when it arrives with a week's worth of meals... I just know I'm going to be okay. No drama, no fuss, no muss. And I'm going to love what I love is when my wife takes a moment to actually plate the meals.
Oh, right. Wow. Fancy.
It almost feels like someone cooked it.
You know, it's wonderful to just be able to reach inside the fridge and pop it into the microwave
yeah.
mm-hmm. and you're done. Because sometimes if you're doing other things, food stacks up. Like in the O'Mara refrigerator, and begins to rot.
Yeah.
No waste.
Yeah, no waste with Freshly. It can work for any dietary need, preference, taste, family size. And now our listeners can try Freshly for $6.16 per meal. So start living life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. It's really a wonderful service, and we've loved it for a long time. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/TMOS. Make better eating a priority and get this special limited limited time offer. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS for $40 off your first two orders. Try Freshly now for a limited time and get $40 off your first two orders. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS to learn more. Thank you very much. Let's open it up and get our digital. Am I out of sync on the show right now?
Yeah, am I doing the wrong thing? The dumpster should be in the next break.
Oh, yeah. We are running that late? Yeah. Are we running that late? Mm. Oh, my God. All right, so we've got a very short break here. I apologize. That's my fault.
That's fine.
I'm really, really sorry about that. It's my belly. It's my aching belly that I had. My diverticulitis, which is flaring up, making
that,
me cloudy.
You're doing that.
The Lord's work right now.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Anyway, I've got nothing to say. I have absolutely nothing to say on the show.
I have run out of material
for the first time in 12 years of doing this show because I was in pain on my angry deathbed coming in to do this show today. There, I will talk about it. And the neighbor down the street who no longer wants my son to play with his son. That's where life is good.
Do you have any idea
what has triggered this latest bout?
Yeah.
Any idea?
It's going to be embarrassing, but since I have no material left on the show today and I'm cloudy and I'm having trouble reading, I will tell you it's because I wore two tight pants.
What?
No.
How is that possible?
I wore two tight pants. That's what it was. Putting pressure on my okay. My gut down there.
Did you get ahead of your skis?
I got ahead of my skis. Yes, I did. Yes, very much so.
I've never heard that phrase before.
Yeah, by the way, I know, Rob, you texted me about Liddy and called me about Liddy.
Yeah.
I saw that this morning when I woke up.
Mike, I was in bed yesterday going like this. I wouldn't have troubled you. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Well, no, it's not your fault for doing that. I just was incommunicado. And one time, Michael comes into the bathroom. I'm sitting there and I have the chills. I am not.
Yeah.
And he walks in and goes, "Dad, I want Dad." And I'm like, I'm fine. I'll talk to you later. You know, freaking him out. He knows he's got an older dad.
Yeah.
It freaks him out a little bit, you know? It's sad. It's sad when he does that. He's very aware of his father being elderly. That's what it is.
With your diverticulitis and my colitis that sometimes, you know, flares up, does stress get at it? Does stress do it as well? I know you had said the physical pressure of the
tight pants. Yes, the stress of that last segment.
I mean...
It is telling the truth.
It is the as we near the end of this
stress
pandemic.
The stress of old promos, the stress of no guests.
That didn't cause this diverticulitis, though. That was a pants
situation. But I had it prior to a little run-in, which I don't think I should talk about.
No, okay. And that's understandable.
It gets worse.
But, look, I don't want to say how bad it was, but perhaps a discussion was had in our house last night of what the hell is wrong with this state. That's how bad it was because it's happened over here, over there, over here. I know people are weird, right? I know we all know that, right? People are weird, but this is a no pest strip. This is a fucking no pest strip down here. It really is. This new neighborhood, wackadoodle, everywhere you look. Honest to God,
the term wackadoos, it has a near and dear a spot in my heart because that's the first time we ever met. Was it Jeff Hedges? Jeff Hedges.
Yes,
he walked down when Chad and I were doing middays, and he finished the show and he said, he introduced himself. He goes, "You guys are a pair of wackadoos."
That was right about the moment. That is right about the moment where he flipped off of us and on to you.
I thought he hated us.
Would eventually result in a... Remember that pivot with Jeff Hedges? Remember when we were persona non grata? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's when it switched, Mr. Hedges.
Yeah.
You were complicit in the firing of Mike O'Mara. There you go. I don't care how many kill zones you had on your property where you could shoot people to death.
World's biggest pickup truck.
Yeah, it's just, it happens once in a while. You got to be mindful of it. You got to be aware of it. And I think that really with good medical advice, I know how to handle it myself now. I really didn't think I'd be in here. I was going to, as early as 6 o'clock in the morning, I thought I was going to call you guys and
blame
do that.
You.
But it really, really is, I'm handling it like that right now. But I think that moment that we had in the neighborhood that I really don't want to go into great detail about probably contributed to that, just being a little more stressed.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you talk, this is for anybody out there. When you talk to another parent, you got to keep it inside a little bit. Even if you might have a theory, you don't vocalize it.
You don't really vocalize it because any way you slice it, you're entering territory. You know, you're in a Walmart and some kid's misbehaving. You don't say, keep that kid in line. No. It's not done. We are protective. Our kids are our territory.
Right.
Stay away from it and leave us alone. Yes, Oscar.
Just a quick follow up. When you get the bout and you end up on the throne, is it something that we've all dealt with where you're sitting there, you're like, I just hope this pain passes and whatever needs to happen? Or are you more of a like Dumb and Dumber situation with your legs up in the air?
Like, no.
Totally like this. No.
I will speak in an analogy form here where I will say my goal.
Oscar, put your feet
down. I do not put my legs up like that. My goal is to, have you seen the movie There Will Be Blood?
Of course.
Oh,
you know, when they're out there in the oil fields and they're waiting for, you know, to strike oil, that's really what it's all about. That's what I care about with the pain and your hope, because the more oil you strike, the better you feel. It's kind of where I'm at. That's where it is. There's the detail. Now we can take another break.
Would it be bad, Mike, if someone drank your milkshake?
I drink your milkshake, oh, Eli. Dear. Oh, dear. Eli, you boy.
Yes, sirree, Eli. I'm finished. Anyway, we will take a break, and now we will come back with the Digital Dumpster and Mr. Rob Spiewak on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What the hell's going on here?
I'm Casey Kasem.
Looking ponderous, man.
He's down on the phone.
Dear Casey.
Oh,
two.
I want somebody to use his f***ing brain.
He was a little dog named Snuggles.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
What happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
We're up to our long-distance dedication.
I gotta talk about a f***ing dog dying.
What is this f***ing ponderous, man?
God damn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. F***ing ponderous.
You can make your long-distance mailbag dedication by sending an email to rob@mikeomarashow.com.
Dear Casey.
That's Rob with two B's.
Two.
And until the next promo, America.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Thank you, Casey. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I tell you about it all the time, and it's a challenge for me as a broadcaster to share our client stories with you. And when it comes to a long-term client like Harry's, I have to tell you that I root for their success. Now, you would think that an advertiser is an advertiser, but we have wonderful relationships with our advertisers on the Mike O'Mara Show, and that's why I think that in many cases with these advertisers, I root for them. And I love seeing Harry's become more and more successful because their formula of offering razors that have been so exorbitantly priced for years and years at a reasonable price has been brilliant. And they give you a great product. It was not just that they were giving you the price point. The price point was spectacular, but then when it turned out they were better razors than I've ever used, and then all of a sudden all this stuff comes down the line, like the Harry's shave gel and the Harry's body wash and the Harry's face wash, and it's all great stuff.
Best.
They are batting 1,000, and I just love them, and I wanted to share that with you. Harry's is offering their starter set plus a free travel size body wash at harrys.com/TMOS. They are a young brand, but they've embraced centuries of blade making tradition. They bought a German razor blade factory that's been making blades for over 100 years. Their craftsmen grind strong steel into a Gothic arch shape. That is the gold standard with blades. It's strong at the base and sharp at the tip. They stand behind the quality of their blades so much that they have a 100% money-back guarantee. Remember, for a limited time, Harry's has made their exclusive offer even better for our listeners. New customers can get a special offer and a Harry starter set and body wash at harrys.com/TMOS. You get the 5-blade razor, the weighted Truman handle, Harry Truman, foaming shave gel, a travel size blade cover, and a travel size body wash. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your order today. And now I can open up the thing again because Rob's got the digital dumpster. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
You know what I get really
Ham
sick
radio
of?
Operator.
I get really sick of April Fool's jokes, especially the big ones that they don't do on April Fool's. They already...
Is this the Michael Strahan thing?
Well, there's it's that. But also, do you know they had an ad that was going around on the internet for Volkswagen saying they're changing their name to Volkswagen because of their electric cars. And, and today they reveal it's an April Fool's joke. Well, guess what, folks? It's March. It's not April. So don't try and do it. It's not fair.
I understand.
It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Strahan released a video.
The late George Michael will be sitting in for us tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. Everybody's dead.
I know.
Scary.
They released a picture, Michael Strahan did, and a video of him getting the gap in his tooth corrected.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And, they, you know, I couldn't tell if it was Photoshop. This is the sound of him actually getting the procedure done.
Don't do it. If I post, it'll be don't do it. If I talk to my friends, it'll be don't do it. If I talk to my business partner, it'll be like, don't do it. But I got to do what I want to do for myself now, you know? You're the only one who knows.
No, we're just going to show them.
And you're the best at this stuff.
So he's getting his tooth corrected, and they put a picture of him, and he's got a beautiful, perfect smile. This is what he said about the gap in his tooth in 2014 when he talked to Barbara Walters.
I have to ask you about the gap in your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever want to change that?
Of course.
Why didn't you?
Well, I thought about it. I even had everything lined up to get it done. And I have a cap I can put in to have.
Really?
Yeah. But when I put it in, it doesn't.
It's not you.
It's not me.
Too perfect.
Too perfect. That's not me.
So look forward to being revealed.
He is such an egomaniac.
Oh, he's the worst.
Honest
what
to God, I do not like Michael Strahan. I never have.
Yeah.
I didn't like him on Live with Kelly. I didn't like the way he played that game there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Giants fan. All right? I'm a big Giants fan. But man, who gives a rat's ass? What an egomaniac.
So look for that April Fool's reveal.
I did believe it did happen, just if I'm being completely honest, because I saw it on my feed and I was like,
I
thought he never wanted to get that fixed, but maybe that's changed.
Yeah, well, you can't set up an April Fool's joke on March 30th.
I love the way she says, too perfect, and he goes, yeah, too perfect.
Too perfect. Like,
no sense of real self-awareness.
What about
there?
Saying, no, not perfect at all, but this is something that represents me.
Yeah, you're right. I was too perfect.
Just too perfect.
God.
There is Oscar, here's one for you.
Yes.
Oscar. Woo.
There is a comedian, his name is David Urie, and his gimmick on TikTok is to take songs, TV themes mostly, and read them dramatically. And he must be of a similar mind to Oscar, because two of them are Oscar's favorite shows.
Here, oh, good.
Here is the DuckTales theme, as if it was being recited by a sergeant welcoming his troops.
Life is like a hurricane here. Race cars, lasers, airplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery. Or rewrite history. DuckTales. Every day, they're out there making DuckTales. Tales of daring do bad. And good luck. Danger. Watch behind you. There's a stranger out to find you. What to do? Just grab on to some DuckTales.
I don't like the guy doing it.
Yeah, also the audio file on me says, could you find a better room?
Yeah, probably.
And the guy doing it is like, it would work better with like a Billy Big Voice Shakespearean actor type guy. He's just reading.
Phoning it in.
But he also did Friends. I'll give you four seconds of Friends.
So no one told you life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke. You're broke.
What does he look like?
Your love life's deal.
What does he look like?
Dweeby. He's dweeby. But I just thought it was odd.
Mike,
you
could have done a better job.
His two top picks were two of Oscar's favorite shows. I just thought.
Come and knock on our door. Someone is waiting for you.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Three's Company 2. That's how you do it.
That's it.
Nice pull. Perfect show to do it to.
Mike.
I was thinking about that when he was talking about it. I was actually saying, well, that would be a good one to do that, you know?
The record has been broken by a young lady for selling Girl Scout cookies. I love this story. She is a cancer survivor. She sold, both in person and online, she's 8 years old, 32,000 boxes of Girl
Good
Scout
Lord.
Cookies.
I thought, wow, I never knew I could do that. And it just meant so much to me to see all that, see that huge number. That's like the biggest number I've ever seen.
And she broke that number when she phoned me. And I would like to.
How did she do it? Did they say how she did it?
Online, in front of her house, and also the fact that she was a cancer survivor, it sort of went viral, and a lot of people around the world supported her. But the main reason I wanted to play it, Mike, is her name is Lily Bumpus.
Bumpuses! Bumpuses! Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a good story. I like that. Willie Nelson continues to be cool and has been cool for a million years.
How old is Willie Nelson?
I think he's 87. So could you check for me, Oscar?
I'll check, yeah.
Chugging along.
He did a PSA that is so nice. It is around footage of great sports moments of the past. And it's basically for COVID saying, be patient. Sports is coming
back. This is a PSA that's running all over the place.
Currently, yeah, but it's so nice to hear him sing.
I love it. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through.
How old is he, Oscar?
87.
87, wow.
In the morning.
Yeah, I've watched
sun.
It. Yeah, it's good beautiful. PSA.
And when the night is blue, I'll be looking at the moon. I'll be seeing you.
That's that thing. Do your bong sound.
Okay,
what's your bong sound? Here we go. This is
I'll be seeing you in all marijuana places.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
But Willie's cool. You know what? You said earlier, Mike, everyone's dying. At least we still have Willie. Bless his
still
heart.
Have yeah. Willie.
He is awesome.
Willie's chugging along.
All right, this is kind of cool. A Chicago McDonald's has installed AI in their drive-thru. And this is not altered. This is how fast they can take the order at the drive-thru at McDonald's. It is proving to be so successful. Look for it coming to a restaurant near you real soon.
Welcome to McDonald's. We're currently serving a limited menu, so please review the menu before ordering. Let me know what I can get for you.
Can I get 2 medium Oreo McFlurries?
All right. Would you like anything else?
No, too slow.
That's it.
It's too slow.
It's okay. Your total will
it's
be
too slow.
6 feet.
No, if it's a robot, it's got to be faster.
But it's for, look, maybe you have a better experience in Florida, but here, I get a lot of.
Could you repeat that, please?
I don't like the teenager. I don't like the teenager that doesn't have diction. You know, where
fair
I
enough.
Will be like.
Fair enough.
Well, I'm going to call this. How's that? Huh?
I said, I'd like a Butterburger, a large Diet Coke, and a side of fries, please.
Okay, that's a root beer.
No, it's a Diet Coke with my fat.
Still better than the McDonald's in Fairfax, Mike.
The McDonald's in Fairfax, we had the pleasure yes. near the WJFK studios of having the worst McDonald's in the history of McDonald's workers.
Always a yep. backup. No.
Oh, there's backup. The 14-car backup once again. Yeah, it's been there since 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's 2.
Mike, let's close with this. Trending on TikTok yesterday, a young lady whose mother is a doctor relaying some of the things that her mother had to remove from down there on Gentlemen when they would go into the emergency room. Oh. You catch my meaning?
Remember, you mean something that's been inserted?
Yeah, we used to talk about, there was a tape we had from ER about bowling trophies.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah. these are actual items that her mother had to remove.
Reading the items that my mom had to help remove from people's butts when she was a trauma surgeon. No kink shaming, but mind you, all these men said that they fell on these items. A 1-liter Pepsi bottle, 7 out of 10. A baby blue cigar holder. Understandable shape, but it had actually been given to this guy as a gift to celebrate the birth of his new son. An eggplant. This dude told my mom he was naked gardening. The girth of this. A Miss Butterworth syrup bottle that was shoved so far
right,
up this man that
it for
when
a
they
second.
Drink
okay. All right. Folks, that when you're going to put your viral video up, all right, mm-hmm. and you have your overbearing music track,
mm-hmm. yes,
you ruined it. And that here's what I do for that, okay? I'm sorry.
All right.
That's my decision, all right?
Understood. But Mike, I would like
music
to
tracks, terrible.
I would like to say her closing line was that the Miss Butterworth bottle was so far north that she could make out the face on the X-ray.
Oh my God.
And there you have it. Close the digital
wow.
dumpster if
that's
you would.
That's amazing. Yeah. Bowling trophy.
Bowling
Why
trophy.
Was it always bowling? For years it was bowling trophy. We thought that was seriously the best one we ever saw.
Yeah, that was, right? that was a punchline from ER. We had it as right. a tape for years.
What did he have as a
bowling trophy? Yeah.
Yeah. I would think really practically, if that was real and not on a TV show, that'd be awfully difficult. But
yeah. You know it'd be really hard as an Emmy award.
Thank you. That's it. We got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It ain't over till it's over.
Oh, good for you.
Ooh, that's a bingo.